week's sermon. So let's review a little bit. Before we do, Mr. Machado, would you mind opening us up in prayer, please? Amen. Now, also, this is some. I have to announce this. Hack this afternoon, 5:15. We're leaving here in the bus to go up to the Kirby's, get some cooking from Mrs. Kirby. Let's go.
All right, I'll be there.
So you are there for that. All right, let's review a little bit, and we'll try to catch up to where we were. So, foundational thought is that we are different. We do not belong to this world. We belong to the Lord. Have an awesome, awesome, and we are awaiting its full completion. Therefore, we are to live differently. Because we are changed, we don't live like the rest of the world. We obey God rather than men. We love the brethren because God loves us and he loves the brethren. So we need to love what he loves. And then we start in verses 1 through 3. But holiness demands the putting off of what is not holy. Because we are unto God, God is holy, so be ye holy. And this sets up the second verse, which says you have to put off all that is not holy. If you're going to grow, you cannot have things that are not holy in your lives. So if you want to grow, you have to put off sin. Put off sin, renew the mind of righteousness. Colossians chapter 3. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, renewed in the mind, and put on the new man, right? We are to continue to grow. Christianity is not just a done thing, it is a new lifestyle, something that we continue in. Paul says in Philippians 3, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus, that I continue on. As if I have attained, but because I haven't attained, I keep pressing on. There is no such thing as passive Christianity. The man putting off all that is not holy. And then we got halfway through this section talking about the stone, that Christ is our chief cornerstone. And it is a being pre-block. He was chosen by man, but it doesn't matter. Because God saw him as precious, valuable, and he said, that is who I'm going to use. I'm going to send my own son to save the world, that everything will be built on him. So he is the living. We don't have a dead faith. We have a living faith. And so because of that, we are like him. We are a living temple of God. Be built up to the temple of God. We are to serve as holy priests, to be offered up spiritual sacrifices, which are made acceptable before God by Christ. Everything we do is only possible because of Christ. Why is that? Because before Christ or without Christ, everything I do is against God. That I need Christ in my life so that what I offer up to him can be acceptable. It's only done through Christ. So what I want us to do, I want you guys to start out talking about, I'm going to give you a couple more minutes than I normally do. About that, one, two, three, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Can someone quote Romans 12? What I want you to do is I want you to talk with the person next to you, and if you're alone, please find someone to sit next with you. But talk with them about what does it mean to offer up spiritual sacrifices? And I want you to think, compare today, how is that different? So what does it mean to offer up spiritual sacrifices? On your mark, get set, go. You can talk with them. They're nice. The Rooks. There you go. Give you 30 more seconds. Wow. Got her. Five seconds. Don't count. Don't count. Time. All right, who thinks that they've discovered a good answer? What does it mean to offer up spiritual sacrifices? April. Right. Yeah, whatever your good deed is, quote unquote, why? Is it unto self? Is it unto man? Or is it unto... Good.
I was talking to this young man. He said, just read the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have it or read it, study it.
Is God honored by us reading his word?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is it a sacrifice to take the time to get into the word? Off of that. Someone else. Yes, ma'am.
The Old Testament, the were dead when they were put on the altar.
Right.
We're supposed to be spiritual sacrifices. So if we're living, as has already been said, we are to be given over to him. However, the flip side is supposed to be mortifying the flesh. So that's a sacrifice that we have to think about all the time.
Yep.
But if someone is dead in Christ, then those circumstances will not walk through him, but rather you'll be looking at Christ and doing what Christ wants.
Isn't that such an interesting comparison, that you are dead in Christ yet alive? Dead unto self, but alive unto God? That we die to self daily, but live for him every day? Neat how the Bible compares that. Marianne, yeah. Right, that Galatians 5, that battle, you have the flesh and the spirit wrestling against each other, and the spirit's trying to lead you to do things to follow after him, and it takes a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, oh, to self, and yes, to the Lord. Anyone else? Right.
For the Catholic Church, whereas now we are, like the word, driven to be worship the Lord all the time. One of the things, what is it that the Roman Catholics worship all the time is the cross, both that is the divine cross, because the Lord has risen.
Amen. You ever had this conversation? Why do you do these things? Why are you doing good things? Are you trying to earn your way to heaven? No. Look at what verse. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. They become lively stones and then offer sacrifices? Or do they offer sacrifices to become lively stones? No, it's because of who they are. That's why they live the way they live. It's because they offer up spiritual sacrifices. Because they are the house of God, the temple of God, they offer these sacrifices. We don't do good things. We don't pray. We don't serve. We don't give to earn salvation. We don't do these things to become a Christian. We do these things because we are Christians. We don't pray so I get on God's good side. I'm on God's good side. Why? Jesus Christ. I don't try to earn God's love because I already have it. I don't try to appease his wrath against my sin because Christ did it. We're trying to say you have to earn your salvation on the cross because Christ paid it all. He took all the pain, all the suffering. He paid the payment in full. So that now I get to live for God. So if you ever had a discussion, you know, why do you do this? Or and the difference is, I mean, you speak to a Roman Catholic about this or a Muslim. I've done this. The difference is I don't do things to become my faith. It's because my faith is what I do. It's because of my relationship with the Lord. I do that not to earn his favor, but because I do belong to him. Right.
That's not how it goes right there. But I'll say, when they say you earn your way to the Lord, right there, they say, okay, show me in the Bible where it says we never earn how we earn the Bible.
Right.
Whether it be at work or other things like that, I have discussions on it right there. The only basic thing I'll try to continue on is to say that the King James Version right there, different people, different things. I understand that. But King James is a lot of it. Like these words you just had right there, lively stones in spiritual house. It's not a physical house and not a physical stone. It's explaining things right there.
Right.
When you read the Bible, you never run out of things in the Bible. It's anything else. Grab Strong's Concordance or something like that and find out what the words mean and deal with it from there.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So let's move on to, that's all. Do you have one? Go for it.
Love is a much greater motivator than fear.
Right.
And works compared to the enablement of grace. See, it's not always us, it's him through us.
Right. Oh. If you give it back, just give me a holler. Yes, ma'am.
To me, Romans 12, 1 and 2 talk about saturating yourself with the Word of God. And when you do that, the Lord begins to show you by renewing your mind
right.
What it is that he wants from us.
Yep.
And so we offer up that old junk and say, burn it, take care of it, it's gone. And we begin on the things that he desires for us rather than what we used to think.
So if you take a cup, empty cup, right, and you pour mud into it, you shake up that cup, what's going to come out? Really? Okay. So if you take that cup and you pour water into it, when it gets shaken up, what comes out? If you take us and you feed in the flesh and we get shooken up, how are we going to react? Right. But if you take the Word of God and you saturate the Word of God in you, you get shooken up. What comes out? Spirit. Awesome point. Right.
You can come down at the very end of it and say, well, the Old Testament priest did all that.
Right.
You know, so what's so still?
Well,
what is Christian?
And even before what they did, God's presence came down and sanctified it so that they could.
But
Right.
See, our identity is not in our actions.
Right.
Our identity is in the Spirit. There he is, or we're not.
Yeah.
We're either saved or we're lost.
That's a great segue to get to. Can I go with that? Is that okay? All right, good, because I was on your the chief cornerstone. Let's read verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. These are, what's happening here, Peter is quoting passages, which even Jesus, Isaiah 28, verse 16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, and a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Not make haste means doesn't fall away, doesn't run away. Can you run away from something or someone that you're confident in? If you trust in them, you believe in them, you'll stay there and be like, oh yeah, I could. But when you don't have that confidence in them, you're going to run away because you're afraid of something. That those who believe on him, on reason to run away, there is no fear of that. And then Psalm 182, the stone which the builders refused become the corner. This is such a great passage. Talking about that it doesn't matter what man says, what man does. I mean, just think about of Christ, rejected him, crucified him, didn't matter. He still became the head of the corner. Christ, God still made him the chief cornerstone. Doesn't matter what people say about our God. What matters is what does God say about himself. And people can reject him, can try to do away with him, but one day they are going to face that chief cornerstone. And this is really cool. One more, and then we get to the really cool one. These are all cool. There's just some that are more cool than others, but they're all cool, okay? Daniel 2, verse 34, thou sawest that a stone was cut out of the image upon his feet that were the iron and clay and break them to pieces. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verse 44 to 45. In the days of these kings shall God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to, there's always another one. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Now take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 21. I know I have it up here, but I want you guys looking, because we'll be jumping back and forth in Matthew 21 just a little bit. Jesus sharing a parable, speaking to a group of Pharisees, scribes, and just other people. And he tells them this story, and this is the parable that he says, starting in verse 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it around about, and digged a wine press, a tower, and let it out to the husbandmen. Let it out means rented, leased. Let them run it, but he still owns it. And went into a far country. The fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. Likewise, verse 30, the last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen, they sent to the heir, this the seed, and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord thereof, what will he do unto those husbandmen? So the picture is, here's this guy who owns this wine field, not wine field, grape field, leased it out, and when it was time to get the fruit, he sent his servants to go, you know, gather what was his. They rebelled, they rejected, they took they killed some of them, cast them away, referring to the prophets God sent to the people of Israel. there is many, most prophets who were rejected. There's some prophets who were killed by being messengers of God. And then he said, well, I will send my son because they will reverence my son. Now, Jesus finishes this verse with a question. And who answers in the next verse? They say unto him. This is either the Pharisees or the people around them listening. This isn't Jesus' words. This is the reasonable conclusion of this story. Do he will miserably those wicked men and will to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season, saying, well, obviously, and he's going to serve, place them and let them benefit off the land. Jesus said to them, do you ever read in scripture builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Isn't it interesting how Christ takes this story and compares it to Old Testament prophecy about this stone? And it's all based on the rejection of the stone. Christ is claiming to be this cornerstone. He's claiming to be the rock that was sent. He's claiming the stone that which we are built on. What happens to those who reject the stone? It shall fall. It will grind him to powder. You know, there's that difference of that we... The Spirit. It's told us that the Spirit is our guarantee of our inheritance. It is a down payment for us in the future. What about those without that? What is guaranteed for their future? Judgment. Stay in Matthew 21. Look at verse 45. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. He is saying, you guys are rejecting God's cornerstone. I am the Son of God that was sent to be the messenger, and you're rejecting me. Just another claim of Christ's deity, of who he is. Of Christ saying, I'm fulfilling the prophecies of Isaiah 28, Psalm 118, and Daniel chapter 2. It's me. So let's go back to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 2, I'm sorry, verse 6. Wherefore, also is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That word confounded, it's the same idea of not being ashamed or not making haste, not being confounded. They're not going to be confused. They're not going to be distraught. They're not going to just run away. They're going to trust in the stone. That those who believe on the stone, they can stand firm. They can stand in confidence. There's no reason to run away because they know who the stone is. They know that it is Jesus and that you can trust in him. Those who believe on him will never be ashamed. Have Christ, we know what our future is. When we are with Christ, we know we have a gift in heaven. We know our sin is given. There's no reason for us to be ashamed. Yeah, our past is bad. Our sin is wicked. So much greater than anything our past was. And because of Christ, we've been changed. And because we now believe on him, and we have no reason to be ashamed of that stone. So, did I skip over verse 8? Oh, my notes got messed up. Verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That word that you saw twice, disobedient, you should translate is unbelieving. It's obedient because the gospel's been told to them and they rejected that. The Greek word is the idea is knowingly choosing to believe. That they heard the truth, they know the truth, but they've rejected the truth. So that's why you can say disobedient or disbelieving. But the idea is that rejected what God had sent. That they are not built upon the rock. And what is destined for those who reject Christ? Condemnation. Judgment. Hell. Eternal. Destined for those who reject Christ. But what is destined for those who receive Christ? Eternal salvation, hope, joy, freedom from sin, freedom from this flesh. We get to get a new body. I mean, in this text, he is comparing, he's making a distinction because thoughts, we are different. And what is the says, we are built upon the stone. We are built upon the chief cornerstone. And we are God's people. We live differently. We do things differently. And our destination's different. But those who have the stone, who have rejected the rock, their destination, there is no hope. Why do you think people today are trying to find so much joy in their life? Why are they going out on all these vacations? Going out on trying to... Why is there so much immorality? Why... Why is there so much alcohol abuse? Why is there so much marital abuses? Why? They're trying to find joy in their lives outside of Christ. But the problem is, we were made to live without Christ. Our joy was meant to be found in Him, in God. We were meant to be built on Him. Your own life? Where you're going about living and you just feel off? Like, yeah, I don't have the joy I had. Why? Because you're probably living in the flesh. I told this to the teens a couple times, but this is true. You can use Galatians 5 as a if you just feel off, something in your life just feels off, go through the fruit of the Spirit. Do I have love? Is there someone I'm not loving? Do I have peace? Do I have joy? It doesn't take long to go through a list to see that if I'm missing one of those things, I'm not walking in the Spirit. If I don't have patience, if I don't have peace, if long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and all the other ones, but if I'm missing something, it's because it's off. It's not because I'm walking in the Spirit. Because God says, if you walk in the Spirit, the fruit of it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, and all the other ones. All right, that's what happens when you walk in the Spirit. And if it's not there, if you're not building your life on Christ, on the rock, you're missing something. Use Galatians 5 as a checklist. You feel something's off. Pray through it. God, is there someone I'm not loving? God, is there something I'm not giving over to you so that I can have peace? God, am I not being patient? And I guarantee you, okay, I've done this many times. It doesn't take more than 3 years. Oh. Oh, no, God, it can't be that. It can't be that at all. No, it's probably that. Our lives are built on Christ. Our lives are built on the rock. Wow, that was a tangent. All right, let's move on to our text. Verses 9 through 10. I'm sorry. This is the difference. I was like, why did you say all that? Differently. We live by the Spirit. The world lives by the flesh. Trying to make here. He's making a difference. He's making a distinction. The people in this world belong here. We live unto holiness. They live unto things that are not holy. We have a hope for eternity. They don't. He's making a comparison here. We are built upon the rock. They are not. Then verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar to show forth the praises of him who hath called darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That's what happened. I put them in the wrong way. The believing, those who believe on the stone will not be ashamed. He is honorable. They receive him. They're built on him. Those who believe are destined to be unashamed by the stone. The non-believing, something that gets in the way. It's just a stone that's in their way. They walk around it. It lacks value. They reject it. They're destroyed by that stone. Those who do not believe are destined to be ashamed of the stone. But we are not ashamed. We have received Christ. We have accepted Christ. Our life is built on Christ. So what does that make us? We are a chosen people who will be holy. We are changed. We're not built on the foundation built by the world. We're built on the foundation of Christ. And when Christ is that foundation, you know, when you're building, you want things to be squared, in line. Is there another terminology I'm missing? Plum. I think of fruits when I hear that. what?
With the fruit doesn't have
the D. You learn something new every day. but you understand, but if you start with that right foundation, you know, if your foundation is off, if it's not plumb, and you're trying to build off of it, everything's going to be crooked, right? You know, if you're trying to put a screw into a hole and it's not straight, it's not lined up, it's not going to work, right? Everything has to be in line. Guess what? What are we built off is Christ. And because Christ is in line, because Christ is perfect, we build that, and so we're supposed to imitate that. Oh, you don't watch that one. Yeah. You have these indicators that show you something's up, not working. Damn it, it ain't going to work for much longer. True story in my life. Yeah, my thought was, oh, it's just every now and then it shows. It can't be that bad. It's that bad. A chosen people who will be holy. And again, what is this referring to? This is talking about who we are, all right? This is us. It's comparing to those who have rejected the stone. Now it's back to us. But what are we? We are a chosen people. We belong to God. We are his people. We're supposed to live for him. And how is that? We are a royal priesthood. Now, that when you're saying that, something should remind us that this is different. Because were the Levites royal priests? No. Turn to Hebrews chapter 20. Our priesthood is based on the priesthood of Christ. Now, Christ is our high priest. Was Jesus a Levite? What tribe was he from? Judah. All the Hebrew priests were. What's going on here? Hebrews chapter 6, look at verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You ever heard of how different priesthoods or friars are after certain different orders? Like you have the friars under the order of Chuck. Idea after the order of is that someone has following that standard. Christ is our high priest, but not after the order of Levi. Not according to his standard, but according to this guy named Melchizedek. Who is that? Who knows who Melchizedek is? All right. Trivia question. He was a king. Abraham offered a sacrifice to him. Was Melchizedek before Levi? Yes or no? Historically, yes. Yeah. Melchizedek was alive a lot longer before Levi, because you need Moses, then all that 400 years before him, and then you have Abraham. Christ's priesthood is based off the order of Melchizedek, a royal priest. And we follow after that. That we're not just, you know, of this tribe, but we are the children of God. We belong to Jesus, who is our Lord, our King, the King of Kings, which makes us his prince and princesses. All right, you get to live that Disney dream, but even better. Then, not just royalty, but priesthood. We get to be the priests, priestesses. Sure. We get to have access to God. We don't have to go to a priest because we have a great high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. And we have 24/7 access to him. And we don't have to come offering a sacrifice because Christ is our sacrifice. We don't have to shed the blood of a lamb to appease God because Christ, Lamb of God, shed his blood so that we can come boldly before him. Why? We are royal priests before God. This is who we are. Do you see why the demand of holiness is so strong for us? Because we're not just people. We're not just another people group. We are a royal priesthood chosen by God. And for what purpose? We belong to him, a peculiar people. Peculiar, when it was used back in the 1600s, did not mean odd or weird. Peculiar actually referred to like a land lot or an apartment complex that people use. It is a different type of land that belongs to someone. And so when we read the word peculiar, we think of, you know, right? They're peculiars. And youth pastors, very peculiar. But the idea behind peculiar means it belongs to someone. It is possession of someone else. We are peculiar to God. It means what? We belong to him. I know we know that, but do we grasp the truth that are behind that? We belong to God. We are his. He gets to do whatever he wants with us, with me. Now, some of us, you know, when you have a son afraid of a certain boss because you know he's not a great boss, you know, the way things like, I don't want to work for that guy because, you know, it's just not, or, you know, you think of the presidential election, but I don't want to be under that presidency. We don't have to fear God because our God loves us. And he proved that love for us. And he shows us what is best for us. I mean, the blueprints to life. He hasn't abandoned us. He cares for us. And the things that he has for us, as hard as things can get, they're not meant to destroy us. They're meant to build us up. And it hurts sometimes. It is painful to go through these things. But everything that God allows for our good. Why? We belong to him. Why would he harm his own product? Why would he destroy something he loves? I love my truck. I'm not obsessed about it yet, but I love my truck. All right? And just the other day, I noticed how much more I love my truck than I did my Jeep because I did things with my Jeep that probably I shouldn't have done. And my truck, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I want my truck to last. I want to use it for a while. I'm not going to go down that road. You know, well, not yet. You know, wait till deer season. But, you know, I'm more careful with it. Why? It's precious to me. And we're not just trucks in God's eyes. We are a special people, loved by God, living in a world that is just terrible. But the saving grace in that is this is not our destination. We have such a better place waiting for us, and everything that God allows in life is meant for our good. So what do we do? I'm in the wrong book. That's why the verse doesn't make sense. Back to 1 Peter chapter 2. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness unto his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtained mercy. So what do we do now? We declare the praises of God. That's our job. As we are pilgrims in this world, are traveling through life, as we are traveling through, what do? We declare how good God's been. And what are some things that we can declare? What are some praises of God that we can declare? God that will never leave us, never forsake. Hey, have you ever been abandoned? You ever been forsaken? There's a God who will never forsake you. What else?
He is living.
He's dead. Muhammad is dead. All these other deities, dead. Jesus Christ is alive. And he's coming again. What else? Oh, we have someone interceding for us. You ever feel like you just can't get things right? A lot. But we have a God who intercedes for us. Where you have the devil who's accusing the brethren, and Christ says, it doesn't matter because I paid it all. What else? He loves us. And again, how do you learn more about the love of God? You learn who you are. You learn who God is. You learn what he's done. And there's a lot to learn about God's love there. Our God loves us, cares for us. Someone else. You can go again if you want. Yeah. You know, they have that at one point. He's like, you're not doing well, are you? No. Okay, you try to keep on that big struggle. You try to, you know, and not that you live in hypocrisy, but, you know, no one wants to see a crier all the time. But then that one person just comes by. They don't even say, how you doing? They just say, what's up? Our God knows what's up. Our God knows what's happening on the inside. And he knows how to fix it. Declaring what he has done and what he can do. What is our job? What is our purpose? We are to go travel through this world, to go through life, to how great is our God, so that others would believe on him too. That's what I love about RU. RU is about there's hope. There is hope to get over these addictions. There is a for you besides drugs. That is what our message should be as a church. There is a better than this life you're living now. Because you're trying to do all these things to try to find joy. And see, this is how we can all be witnesses. Some of us are afraid that I can't be a apologist. I can't defend my faith on that high scholarly level. That's not what we're asked to do. We are called to declare the good. We were once a people who were without. We are a people who belong to God. We were once under the wrath of God, but now we have attained mercy by Jesus Christ. How can we go about not telling people about that? Selfishness. Because they can have it too. I don't know how many times Dr. Don't or not, but, you know, telling someone that they're very sick is not a pleasing thing. But when you can go to them and tell them that you have an illness, but there is hope, completely changes that meeting. And that's our message. That there is alcohol, the sex, it's not through your lifestyle. It's through God and God alone. How do I know it's true? Praise be to his name. Christ. The people of God are those who build their life upon the rock. Those who trust in him will never be put to shame and are changed by the house of God. To reject the stones are destroyed by him. Now, those who are built upon the rock are tasked with declaring the mercies of God. So let us go forth this week declaring God's mercies in our lives to the rest of the world around us. Mr. Joseph, could you close us in prayer?